In our effort to be conversational, we use anything to stimulate our conversation. And so we oftentimes say, and so, what's the price of beans in Russia? You know. And Ellen, of course, has to bring up the remark, well, we just had a bowl of baked beans here, and so, what's the price of beans in America? Well, it all depends how much you want to put behind it, how much air you want to put behind it. Now, what does it mean when you do that? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Instant Illumination. What does it mean to do that? What does it mean to say how much, what's the price of beans in Russia? Well, it's just something to start a conversation. How many times have you sat with another person and there's no conversation? And you don't think of anything, and they don't think of anything. It's just the two of you sitting there quietly, not saying anything. Now, that's really despicable, isn't it? That's terrible. Or is it?
No.
Is it a nice idea sometimes just to sit quietly and enjoy life? Is it nice just to sit quietly and not get all wound up in some intelligent conversation? Be such an intellectualite, you know? Yes, it's very nice. It's very nice to do that. Oftentimes I'm sitting with a group of people and their conversation is going all sorts of ways, but not a way that, that stimulates me. And so I let my attention drift to the room or out the window or whatever, and I look at the garden and I see the flowers. And I say, they look like they're very nicely taken care of. They're growing so beautifully. And then I look at the roses and I say, they have 12 varieties of roses in that little area of their garden. How do they do that? How do they get all those varieties of roses in the one little area of the garage, of the garden? And then I look further, and what do I see? I look further, and I see the gardener out there. And mentally, I go out to the gardener, and I say, hi, gardener, what are you doing? And he says, where are you? I said, I'm sitting in that meeting room there, bored with what the conversation is not, and I just came out to enjoy your 12 varieties of roses that you have in this small area here for your garden. He said, you are right on top of it. You counted them right. And I said, good. What are their names? And so he rattles off the names of these roses, and I said, golly, that's quite a variety. And some of them are very special, very, very hard to find roses. And he said, well, not for me. It's because I love roses. So no matter where I am, roses just appear for me. And people want to give me roses. And they don't even know that I love roses, but they want to give me roses. And I say, wow, you really are tuned into it, just like you're tuned into me. I'm sitting in that room there with that group of people thinking about you and what you're doing out here, and the two of us are thinking about what we're doing, and so harmonious that we are actually there. Now, why is it that we don't do that more often? Well, wisely, he says, we do. We do that far more often than we give ourselves credit for, because we think we're daydreaming. And we think we're wool gathering off in some other dimension of thought and not paying attention to anything, and we really aren't. We really are paying attention to whatever it is that we're paying attention to. Now, we just told a story here at the table, and Sylvia was very adamant that the idea of a cocoon emerging into a butterfly is and representing eternal life is a beautiful thing, but it's not the same as the birth of a being or the birth of an animal. That type of birth and the continuance of eternal life is a totally different thing than the cocoon and the caterpillar and the butterfly. Now, that may be true. That may be true. But there are, let's see, 300 billion zillion trillion creatures on Earth that have not been cataloged. Mm. That we haven't figured out what they do. You know how many creatures live, so to speak, in the bottom of the ocean, in the lower levels of the ocean? We don't even know, but they're down there because some of our scientists have gone down there with instruments that they can take pictures, and they say, there's lots of life down there, you know? And then when you go into a cave, and this cave in Arizona, it's back, and there's water in there. And you go back, and then when you get into the very back of it, you shine your flashlight down in the water, and there are fish in there. Fish in this black hole of Calcutta, you know? And the fish have their eyes closed. They swim around with their eyes closed because they can't see anything anyhow. But they could, if they would. But one of the fish told its progenitors that it was going to close its eyes because there's no reason to have them open since it couldn't see anything. And so all of the subsequent fish were born with their eyes closed. Now, that's how, what happens? That's how, what happens? What happens to humanity? What happens to animals?
Creation. No. Metamorphosis.
Hmm?
Metamorphosis.
It's a type of metamorphosis. But what it is, it's where they change their forms. The early man
mutation.
Had...
Hmm? Mutation.
Yeah, early man had different type of face that mutated into another face, into another one. And these mutations took place, and they took place over thousands and thousands and millions of years. And we didn't realize it was taking place until we could do research into the archaeological studies and find bones of earlier man and find that it is an heir to that line of being. But, Sylvia was so sure that her metamorphosis was the thing and that it was so beautiful, and it is. But now we contest also that the birth of two thoughts together, that's a life. Two thoughts together, got into the egg and the sperm together, got into the creature coming forth. Now, do you think that the animals, that they all know what they're doing? Yeah? Do you think these animals know how these things are going to work? All I have to do is say one word to you. Fish. And the salmon spawn eggs by the ton. And they sell salmon eggs because they're so very good. But they spawn, and then they're all over the top of the water. And then the male comes along, and he shoots the sperm out, and floats up and gets mingling with the eggs. It doesn't touch all the eggs, but it touches a lot of them. And so many, many thousands and thousands of eggs are fertilized and turn into little fish, little salmon, just before they're eaten by bigger fish. But that's a continual program that they go through. Now, isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? Here we think that the metamorphosis of a butterfly and a cocoon with a caterpillar is a very special thing, and it is, but really, is it? Now, Anita told us a children's story that she had read in a book, and the children's story was about this rabbit who had one ear longer than the other and a couple of teeth sticking out of the front of his mouth, making him look very unique. And he didn't like himself, because he looked at other rabbits, and he looked at himself in the pond, and he saw that he was different. And he didn't like himself because he was different. And he says, I don't like myself. Well, on the branch next to him was his friend, the caterpillar. And the caterpillar was just crawling along there, eating leaves and just having a great old time. And he said to the caterpillar, you know, you're a well-formed person. You're a well-formed being, but look at me, I'm so ugly. And the caterpillar said, to me, you look just fine. you look just fine. And the bunny was very uptight and very unhappy. Yeah, but you don't have to have my one long ear and one short ear and one big teeth sticking out in front, and you don't realize how it is to live in an ugly body. And the caterpillar said, well, have you ever looked at my body? Kind of interesting, isn't it? All these legs, all these feet, and I squeeze, you know, if I were a music box, I'd be making music. And then it'd be lots of fun. You know, but no, I'm just a caterpillar crawling along from leaf to leaf and finding the most delicate parts of the leaf and eating it and enjoying it so much. Because I'm filling myself with a special type of material. And the special type of material might be called a spider web. Because really, I have a spider web making device inside of me. But it's called a cocoon web making device. It makes my cocoon. So I weave this web over my body. Isn't that interesting? I weave this web over my body. I start at the top. I hang by a branch up there by my tail. And then I take my mouth and I go around my body. And I go around and around and around and around a dozen times. And I make a thick pattern because I can't go back. Once I've got myself in the cocoon, I can't go out there and do any finish-up work, you know. I got to make it sound as I go along. And so I go around and around and around. Isn't that silly? Here I'm taking all this energy and all this food that I've been eating and making it into this caterpillar web, making my cocoon web, my bed. So, and I go on doing this, and I go on doing this, and I go on doing this, and I go on doing this for days. Actually, not very long. How long does it take me to make my web, to make my cocoon? Actually, just a matter of hours. Just a matter of hours. If it took days, I couldn't last that long. But it's just a matter of hours. And so I make this cocoon, lovely cocoon. Oh, inside it is better than Genie's bottle, you know. And I dream of Genie. And it's just glorious. And I live in there. So I stay in my cocoon for a period of time. And when people come along and talk to me while I'm working, I can talk with them because I'm doing sort of a job that I know how to do. I don't have to think about it. I just sort of create my web around myself. And this rabbit comes over and he wants to ask me all these questions. And so I talk to him. I say, hey, rabbit, you're a cool-looking guy. I am. Oftentimes think, wouldn't it be fun to be like you, hippity hopping around here and jumping over the things and just doing all, and when you eat, oh boy, do you eat. I eat a tiny leaf in a day or two, and you eat the whole bush in no time at all. Yeah, you're wonderful. And the rabbit just doesn't think so. So I tell him he is, because I see everything beautiful. And so the little caterpillar, he just slowly closes up his house. And he says, well, time for me to do a little bit of transformation.
What's transformation?
Well, transformation is where I change from one thing to another. But how can you do that? Well, I have the design, I have the blueprint right inside of me, and I know what I'm doing. But how can you do that? It's so dark in there. How can you see anything? Oh, you just wait till I come out. You'll see how beautiful I am. And so the caterpillar works inside the cocoon, and he's working inside the cocoon, and he's changing from a sort of a fat, gushy caterpillar into a beautiful butterfly with delicate wings of the most beautiful design, the most beautiful everything about him. He's just so wonderful. And then he says, rabbit! And the rabbit is over on the other side of the garden, and he hears the caterpillar. Yeah, cat, what do you want? And come here. So the rabbit comes over, chewing on a carrot, and he looks at the caterpillar, and he says, hey, caterpillar, guess what? I found a girlfriend the other day. And the caterpillar says, that's nice. Now, watch me. And so the caterpillar begins to unzipper his fly. And out he comes. And first he just sort of puts his eyes out and looks around. He said, now, rabbit, Everything clear? Everything ready? It's the right time of day. Am I going to dry my wings wonderfully and so forth? Wings? You're a caterpillar. What are you talking about, wings? Well, you watch and see. So the caterpillar climbs out of his cocoon, and as he does this, he just sort of a tight bundle. And the rabbit says, "You look terrible. You know, your fat's all gone, and all your good-looking qualities are gone." And the butterfly said, "Well, rabbit, do me a favor." The rabbit says, "Sure, butterfly, you're my buddy. Rabbit, blow on me. Go, whoof," you know. And so the rabbit says, "Whoof," and the butterfly held on to the tree, held on to his cocoon, and the rabbit blew so hard that his wings opened up so beautiful, and the rabbit said, "My goodness sakes, you're beautiful, you're gorgeous." And the butterfly said, "Yes, I told you that, and you are too, you know." And then the friend, the girlfriend from the butterfly, came flying by. She too had just recently emerged from her cocoon. And she says, "Hey, butterfly, what you doing?" And so the rabbit, he says, "Look, you got a girlfriend." And just then, a bunny stuck her head out from behind one of the big rhubarb plants. And she said, "Shh, hey, good looking." And the rabbit, with his long ear and his big teeth sticking out, "You talking about me?" And she says, "Ain't anybody else around here good looking?" And he says, "Really?" And she says, "Oh, come on. Don't make me compliment you with the truth." He says, "Well, it is nice to hear it once in a while." And she says, "Well, good looking. Come on over here and stand close to me." She says, "You know how rabbits are." And he says, "I've heard about it. I've heard about it." And so the two butterflies were standing on the branch, enjoying the afternoon sun, and the rabbit and his girlfriend disappeared. And about 5 minutes later, they came out, and she says, "Oh dear." And then she went pop, 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 and out came a dozen little bunnies. And Daddy Rabbit looked at them and he says, "My goodness sakes, where did you find them?" And she said, "Well, that's just part of the program." And he says, "They look like me and they look like you. Some of them got crazy ears on one side, the other side, back side, and they have tails that are long and short, and they have teeth that are short and long. And man, oh man, I tell you." And she says, "Well, do you feel like you're not handsome anymore?" "Oh my goodness, this is, I feel wonderful. I mean, look at these guys. I know why I'm so pretty, because no one will ever confuse us for a cocoon, for, a caterpillar, or for a butterfly, because we are rabbits." And so Sylvia's argument goes unanswered, and our talk goes unanswered, but it is kind of fun to wander into the lane of imagination and see what happens when two rabbits get together. Have a lovely day, and know that I love you.
I love you.
I love you.